Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and discuss the Word of Life for August. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Catholic Charities is known for helping the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and others who are down on their luck. Since 1986, the Counseling Department of Catholic Charities has offered services to anyone seeking help and support to enrich their life by becoming a physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially fulfilled person. Their mission is to improve the mental health of individuals and families by providing professional counseling. From early intervention with a child or adolescent to depression, anxiety, phobias, stress, or couples counseling, premarital counseling or annulments, or crisis intervention with an adult, the Counseling Department's highly qualified counselors provide services by appointment only. For more information, call Catholic Charities, 884-0651. Help is available.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and welcome back.
Thank you, Barbara. It's good to be back.
Did you have a nice time on your vacation?
I had a very nice time and fairly relaxing, so I hope other people got away as well, at least if not away from their homes, at least away from work and other things. So hopefully it's been a restful summer for many.
Mm-hmm. And I got away also, and it's nice to see different parts of the country.
Yes.
You know, right. It is God's country.
It is.
So, well, we have our gospel this morning from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do, that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave them bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as is our tradition, we have the Word of Life for August.
Yes, we do. And as many of you know, though we've been off for about a month, we take this one sentence of the gospel, of the Word of God, and try to not only meditate upon it, but also to, in some ways, let it become flesh. And I think it's a good introduction, what we had in the gospel, which speaks of the bread of life, which is, of course, Jesus himself, and he comes from God. And so as we listen to the Word of God in the gospel that we've just read and in the sentence of the gospel and the commentary, we realize that these are from God. These are you might say, gifts from God to give us life, because that is what bread and that is what truth is all about, is to give us a life physically and also spiritually. So this month's Word of Life for August of 2012 is rather interesting, something that I would say kind of keeps us on our toes.
Yes.
And the sentence is, which we'll begin with now, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father."
And, of course, that's from Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33.
That's right. And so now we'll begin the commentary that Kara Lubick has given, left with us. "This Word of Life is a source of great joy and encouragement to all Christians. With this passage, Jesus calls us to be consistent in living out our faith in Him, because our eternal destiny depends on the attitude we have assumed toward Him during our lifetime. If we declare ourselves for Him before others, He says He will have reason to declare Himself for us before His Father. If instead we have disowned Him before others, He will disown us before His Father. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." Jesus reminds us of the reward or punishment that awaits us after this life because He loves us. He knows, as one of the fathers of the church puts it, that at times fear of punishment is more effective than a beautiful promise. For this reason, He increases in us the hope of endless happiness, while at the same time, in order to save us, He awakens in us a fear of being condemned. His aim is that we live forever with God. This is all that matters. It is the goal for which we have been called into existence. Only with Him, in fact, will we reach our complete self-fulfillment, the full realization of all our aspirations. This is why Jesus urges us to acknowledge Him here and now. If instead we choose not to have anything to do with Jesus, if we disown Him now, when we reach the next life, we will find ourselves cut off from Him forever. At the end of our lives, Jesus will therefore simply confirm before the Father the choice that each one of us has made while here on earth, with all its consequences. By referring to the final judgment, He emphasizes the tremendous importance and seriousness of the decision we make here. Our eternity is at stake. "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven." How can we best take advantage of this warning Jesus has given us? How can we live His word? He Himself said it, "Everyone who acknowledges me." Let us decide to declare ourselves for Him before others with simplicity and openness, overcoming our need for mere human respect. Let us get out of the state of mediocrity and compromise that empties our lives also as Christians. Remember that we have been called to bear witness to Christ. Through us, He wants to reach all people with His message of peace, justice, and love. We can bear witness to Him wherever we are, whether in our family, at work, among friends, at school, or in the many different circumstances of our lives. We can do it first of all through our behavior, through the integrity of our lives, through our purity, through our detachment from money, through our participation in the joys and sufferings of others. We can express it through our mutual love, our unity, so that the peace and joy promised by Jesus to those united to him will fill our soul even now and overflow onto others. Perhaps someone will ask us why we act the way we do, why we are so serene in a world that is so fraught with tension. We will then answer with humility and sincerity, using the words that the Holy Spirit will suggest to us. In this way, we will bear witness to Christ with our words too, on the level of ideas. Then perhaps many of those who are searching for him will find him. At other times, we may be misunderstood, contradicted, made the object of derision, hatred, and persecution. Jesus alerted us to this possibility. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We are still on the right path, however, so let's go ahead to bear witness to Christ with courage, even in the midst of trials, even at the cost of our lives. The reward that awaits us is well worth it. It is heaven, where Jesus, whom we love, will declare himself for us in front of the Father for all eternity.
Well, you know, once again, I see that this Word of Life does give us a blueprint of what we need to do with our lives.
Right. And, it's not so much, I think, in looking at it myself, it's not so much just in one or two occasional parts of our life where we do this or we don't do this. It's really total commitment that's really required, because it depends on that relationship with Christ. And we know that if it's tepid, or as she says here, mediocre, or we've compromised, then we give no witness. And so we've really denied him. But I think one of the interesting parts of this is where Kara Lubick speaks of the fact that even though this sounds like a real warning, it's a warning out of love. I mean, if somebody's corrects us or warns us, we may take it as a reprimand, but it's really not. It's a warning because I love you, because I want you to be with the Father and me in heaven for eternity. So I'm saying to you, don't compromise your relationship with me or with the Father. So whoever acknowledges me, and we can speak more about that after the break, what it means to acknowledge Christ, but acknowledging him in our life before others, then he will do the same in front of the Father. And if we deny him in front of others, again, there's many levels and facets right of that, then he will deny us in front of the Father, which is, I think that's kind of the frightening part, that Jesus, who is God and who has come to us, would eventually not turn on us, but be faithful to his own promises, that he would deny us in front of the Father if we deny him.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. I mean, it puts it into to human terms to
exactly
us of
right,
what we
right
need to do.
Sure.
So, all right, well, we are going to take a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation for August Word of Life. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A special evening of praise and worship will be held at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga, on Wednesday, August 22nd. It'll be an evening of spiritual healing, inviting God to prepare our hearts for adoration. The message will be on the spiritual communion of merciful love and healing through the Holy Eucharist. For more information, call the Most Precious Blood Church office at 854-3800.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, you just read the Word of Life for August, and so we're going to start our conversation about it. You know, in the text, there was the wording that, you know, Jesus reminds us of the reward or the punishment that awaits us after this life, and said that sometimes fear of punishment is more effective than a beautiful promise. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, what is that punishment?
Yeah, what she's saying here, and basically is quoting one of the fathers of the church, which would be one of the authors or teachers of the in the early church, is that at times to have a bit of fear about being punished. And I think a parent would know this. You know, that's the thing about the scripture and God. It's, we can understand even from human terms that it's perhaps more effective at times with a parent to do a little bit of a, put a little fear in a child about being punished rather than making a lot of beautiful promises, because we take advantage of, as human beings, of a lot of nice promises. So what the father of the church is saying is that it's probably we get further along in life, we probably reform our life a bit more, just having a little bit of fear of punishment. Well, what is the punishment is your question. The punishment is the loss of the presence of God. I mean, that's the ultimate punishment for anyone, is to not be in a God's presence. Rather than being saying, oh, you can live with me forever, da-da-da, and we just kind of say, well, that's nice, and we just go on with life. But realizing that there's some responsibility.
The flip side of it.
Right, and that's the point, I think, with this, is that we bear responsibility for this. It's not just that God is a good bundle of goodness and love and forgiveness and mercy and justice, and he is. But it's in relationship to us. We bear some of the burden, too, of responsibility in this. And that's why this whole passage here from St. Matthew's Gospel, in the words of Jesus, if you acknowledge me, I acknowledge you. If you don't, if you deny me, then I deny you. Mm-hmm. So we bear some responsibility here as well. But the ultimate loss is the loss of God's presence. In the recent years, I've heard probably, and I may have quoted this at least when we began a few years ago, but, you know, what is hell?
Yes.
Is the absence of God.
It's we did talk about that. Yeah,
it's knowing that I could have loved, I was required to love, I was commanded by the gospel to love in life, to forgive, to be merciful, to carry others' burdens, to see Christ, and I didn't do it. And now I want to do it in the next life. She was speaking of the next life. And now in the next life, I want to do it, but I can't. I no longer have the possibility in eternity to do that. It's too late. And so that's where I think this kind of fits together, is the fear of spending an eternity of wanting to do what I should have done in this life, and now I can't do it. That's hell. Mm-hmm. That's what hell is. And so it's an absence of God. So to sum up what you were asking is this, this fear of punishment is more effective than beautiful promises. That punishment is that absence, that inability to love God who loves me still.
And to me, it's a wonderful way as we think about what we focus on, just to have that focus to acknowledge God, because we don't want to have the we don't want the flip side.
Sure. And, you know, I think when we go into, we could kind of move into that too, of acknowledge, what does it mean to acknowledge God? And, you know, I think even now, especially today with what we're facing, we spoke a lot before this, at the beginning of the summer about conscience. We did a whole series on conscience during Lent this year. And, you know, all the decisions that we are coming up with, the decisions that people make in their life based on perhaps what she speaks of here as human respect. There are so many things, actions that people take because they don't want to lose respect from others. And yet, perhaps in that very action, they are denying that Christ is in their life. For example, periodically I hear tragically that a parent, a guardian, a loved one will take another person to an abortion clinic because they don't want to lose human respect, or they're embarrassed. That's a decision which is a denial. It might be trying to seek or to screen themselves from a lack of human scorn, but at the same time, a decision like that is denying the presence of Christ in their life. So we can't have both. We can't say that I belong to Christ, I am a Catholic, I am a Christian, and do certain things in our life, because that action is a denial that Christ is in my life. Pure and simple, it's an action of denial. And we can, from the gospel here, realize that Christ is also denying us in front of his Father. In other words, saying that person acting in that way, or whatever the sinful situation is, we can almost imagine Christ saying to the Father, don't know them. Don't know. That's not what I taught them. That's not what I said. I'm for life. I'm not for death. Mm-hmm. And so it's that, or someone who steals. Work, Christ, and even in the Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments, says you shall not steal.
Right.
Well, and Christ confirmed all those things. So I don't know them. And I think you can almost put that human face of Christ in front of the Father, the Eternal Father, saying, I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tragedy of making those kinds of decisions through sin, but also a reminder of our responsibility.
Right. But for those sins, there is reconciliation.
There always
is reconciliation.
But there has to be the contrition of heart,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right,
sure,
because we've talked
always.
About that before. You can't go to reconciliation and then continue to steal.
Sure.
You confess it and then you continue to steal.
Well, I think, you know, speaking a little bit about our, you know, we talk so much, we try to emphasize a spirit of stewardship that we all have, the way that we, for example, manage our money, the way that we participate in life, in business, the way that we are responsible in society, in our communities, in our schools. All of that participation in the human endeavors and the human expressions of life should be motivated by and express our relationship with Christ. So that, for example, someone who is so attached to money or so attached to their material belongings, Christ could say, I don't know who they are.
Because you're worshiping that more than you
me. Yeah, and I didn't teach them that. I mean, I think if each one of us, as we kind of do an examination of conscience, just say, what would Christ say to the Father? Did I teach you that? Did I show you that? And if we can't find it in the gospel, if we can't find that reality in our own life, we'll say, well, I didn't teach them that. You know, even the way we treat one another, the words that we use, the things that we say, the gossip that sometimes we I hear even about myself. People say, well, he doesn't this. And I go, well, I don't know where that came from. But we sometimes get into that kind of a gossip thing. But did Christ teach us that?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is doing wrong, then we go, what I read in the gospel, you go tell them.
And talk to them about it.
Talk to them about it, and you don't go tell everybody else false information, misinformation, and then it just – so, you know, and I think if each one of us – and I'll use this term – tightened our life up a little bit according to the gospel, we would see things change.
Mm-hmm.
We would see a lot of things change. The judgments that we make upon other people, upon their actions, the prejudices that we have against other people – maybe because we feel that they're prejudiced. It's just this snowball of activity. There's so many things that are in the news today. You know, I mean, in the news this past week, that we keep accusing one another. We don't know each other. And so the gospel just seems to go, and the standards of the gospel, the standards of Christian life just seem to dissipate. And I'd like to say also to parents how important it is to teach your children. Since I did that talk on conscience.
By the way, that was replayed in July.
Yes, it's throughout July. But the more I listened to it myself and revisited it, how important the first element of the formation of conscience is, and that is from home.
True.
And our parents teaching our children right from wrong. And I think the gospel, this sentence of the gospel certainly says that to us. Everyone who acknowledges me, we have to teach each other, and especially children at a very early age, what it means to live in the family responsibly in the Christian message. I mean, we get to that eventually. But to realize that every time we say no for a reason, and a good reason, no, you shouldn't do that, it's wrong, we are forming them. And I think what Jesus is saying here in this gospel passage is we need to be formed, tighten up, our integrity and our commitment to live the Christian life. Otherwise, as I've been saying throughout the program, we can almost imagine Christ in front of the Father saying, sorry, don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. Don't recognize them. Do not recognize them. Mm-hmm. So,
and I guess I want to add to that, Bishop, for adults who may not have had that formation at the home, and they'll say, well, I was just raised that way. That's why their behavior is. And I say, no, you're an adult. You can change your behavior.
We are all responsible.
We're all responsible, and we can all continue to learn and grow.
Sure.
You know, and not blame it on
the past and somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
And I want to bring back what you said, too, and I think these are, you know, harsh words in some ways, but I think at the same time we know that God is full of forgiveness, and with a contrite heart, He certainly wants each one of us to be recognized. He doesn't want us not to be recognized in front of Him. He wants us to be, and that's why we are always called to express our forgiveness for us as Catholics in the sacrament of reconciliation, to say, I am sorry. I do want you to know who I am. I do want you to recognize me.
And I will be different going forward. Well, it's a wonderful word of life for us to focus on for this month. So if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Sure. Let us pray. Draw near to your servants, O Lord, and answer their prayers with unceasing kindness, that for those who glory in you as their creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.